Today's shiur is Masechet Erev and Daf Samach Gimel. We will begin on Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had taught us a machlokes we learned in the Mishnah, we learned in the Gemara, where if somebody is living with an akum, does he need to make a ruvah chatzeris? And we learned the machlokes Rameya and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Ramey's opinion was that yes, if somebody lives with an akum, there's a concern what to be done, and you have to do schiris rishus. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, there's a difference if you're living with one akum versus if you are living with two akum. With one akum, we don't need to be concerned, and with two akum, the Gemara said we need to be concerned. Today's sugya actually is not focused on Hilchas Erevin. Today's sugya is focused on the halacha that is a Talmud under what circumstances may a Talmud issue a halachic ruling b'makom rabbi where his Rebbe is, and under what circumstances may you not issue such a ruling. Tosus, the very maskil Mahu, however, indicates that the entire discussion in our Gemara is only in a circumstance where a question was claimed to a Talmud. And that a question, as we're going to see, is under what circumstances made a Talmud issue a psak, and under what circumstances made a Talmud not issue a psak. However, if somebody's learning, somebody's giving a shir, under those circumstances, certainly a Talmud who's learning and comes to a decision, may voice his opinion during such a shir. Says the Gemara, Amalei Abayi L'Rabbi Yosef Kaimlan, we have a rule throughout Shas that Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanoki. Rabbi Yaakov, whatever Rabbi Elazar Yaakov says is Kav, so what means is that he's not mentioned that often in the Mishnais and the Brises. So it's kav, it's not that often, but what he says is noki. Everything is 100% correct. In fact, there's a interesting Rashba that quotes Rabbeinu Chananel that says that there's a Kabbalah that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar kav, 102 times kav. Furthermore, says the Rashba, that not always do we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? We usually paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but there are exceptions, and he goes into a discussion what's going to be when it's a yochid rabbim, or if the Gemara clearly indicates that we don't paskin like him. Says the Gemara, but in this case, the Gemara is saying we're paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Ken Am Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Halak Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That looks like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Ask the Gemara, something which is so clear. Why would be the halacha ma'ali ruhi b'makom rabbi? Could a Talmud paskin this shayla, even though we just said that a Talmud shouldn't paskin a shayla b'makom rabbi, what's going to be the halacha under these circumstances? Omalei, switcher Rav Yosef responded to Abaya, afilu be'e bet kutcha. A question which is so simple, like be'e bet kutcha. So Rashi explains Beib Kutcha means eating eggs with milk. And even though it's so obvious that one may eat eggs with milk, the halach is that one should, as long as Rav Huna was alive, if they would ask Rav Chisda such a simple shayla, he didn't have the right to paskin. So Rashi explains, the Gemara Masechta Ksubis says that it's a chutzpah. It's a chutzpah for a Talmud to issue a psak b'mokim rabbi. Another pshat is that every time a psak that's issued, the Rishonim say, the Rav who issues the psak has to have siyata d'shmaya that he should paskin correctly. When somebody is paskining, when he doesn't have a right to paskin, he doesn't have that siyata d'shmaya. And that's why we could understand another pshat that the Rishonim give is because it's a lack of kavod. We are all obligated to give kavod to our Rebbeim. So if our Rebbe, given the circumstances, as we will in Mitzvah Shem learn in our shir, if the Rebbe's there to paskin the Shaila, then you're not allowed to paskin the Shaila, because how could you paskin the Shaila when your Rebbe is supposed to paskin it, and it shows a terrible lack of kavod? Omle Rabbi Yaakov Abba Labaya, Kigoyim Megillas Tanis. We know that in those days they didn't really have Torah Shebaal-Peh committed to writing, but they did have Megillas Tanis, which was a sefer that said all the days which are Yom Tovim, where you're not allowed to fast. So the question is the Ksiva Mancha. That sefer is very available. Mala Aruye Ba'aseid Rabbi. What's going to be an halacha? Could a Talmud issue a psak that somebody asks him a question and it's explicit in the Megillas Tanis? Omale, Hocham Rabbi Yosef, Filu Bei Bekutcha. Even an easy question like eggs and milk. Boy, my name is Rav Chisda Kol Shneid Rav Huna. I asked from Rav Huna these questions. V'loi Oiri. And he didn't paskin. So Rashi says that if somebody comes and asks you, what's Pshat in the Gemara? If somebody comes and asks you a question, may I fast on this day? And it's explicit in the Megillas Tanis that you may not fast on that day. The halacha is that you can't paskin that shaila. Tosfos doesn't disagree. Tosfos disagrees. He says that's something that's obvious. He says the only time that it's considered that you're being Meir Hira is on something which is not explicit. And actually, what Tosfos says is critical to understanding how we have Rabbanim Paskin Shailas Bizman Hazeh, when Baruch Hashem, we have our Rabbeim, and how can we Paskin if our Rabbeim are here and we're not allowed to Paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch in Yoridei Simen Reish Mim Bei Siftes says that anything that's explicit in a sefer, that you're allowed to say. Because it's not like I'm saying something and how am I paskening the Mokim Rabbi. I'm just repeating what it says in the sefer. And in fact, the Drisha on that sif in the Shulchan Aruch asks, how could you pasken? Our Gemara just said, with the explanation that Rashi gave, that even something which is explicit in the Megillas Tanis, the Talmud is not allowed to say. So how could the Shulchan Aruch ask the Drisha say that if something is explicit in the Shulchan Aruch, I'm allowed to say it? Here we say that you're not allowed to say even what's in the Megillas Tanis, the way Rashi explained it. So he answers that when what you're saying is a Chiddush, even though it's explicit, you shouldn't say it. But what you're saying is simple, and it's also explicit in a sefer, that you're allowed to say. He says, another teretz, he says, to say something which is explicit in a sefer, in the place where your Rebbe is, that is aser. And with the explanation that we just gave, it's very understandable. Because that represents a lack of kavod to your Rebbe. And since it represents a lack of kavod to your Rebbe, you may not say it. But if it's not exactly the Mokum Rabbi, and even though your Rebbe is alive, but it's also explicit, that you're allowed to say. The Shach disagrees with both of these terutzim, and he says that with the Shulchan Aruch must be speaking about, even in our Gemara, which is very much the way I think Tosfos wants to learn, that it's talking about being medama milsa lamilsa. Something which is explicit, the Gemara never considered that you may not say. What the Gemara here is speaking about is that it's something which is not explicit, and that's why you need to, even though it's based on what it says in Megillas Tanis, but it's not explicit in Megillas Tanis. However, it's important to point out that even though, as we just quoted, that you're allowed to say something which is explicit in a sefer, when that means, I saw that the Prima Gadim says this, and the Shas Shuvos Yaakov discusses this, that one has to be very deliberate. And just because the Shaila is quoted in a Sefer, he has to look it up before he says it. Everything that, and I'll read the words of the Aruch HaShulchan in Yoridei Simen Reish Membeis Sif Lamed Hei. Shekamosh Asal Haris B'Makam Rabbi. Just like we're learning in our Gemara, that you're not allowed to pass on a Shaila B'Makam Rabbi. K'moy Kain Ein L'Haris B'Li Iyum B'Sefer. You shouldn't pass on a Shaila without looking into the Sefer. Shehema Rabbi Seinu. The Sfarim are now our Rebbe's. V'ein l'hayris b'makom Rabbi. And we have no right to paskin. And therefore, he says, then he goes into, he says, I didn't always see that. He says, it depends, but certainly he says that you should look it into it. And so too, the Chasam Sofer explains the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, Perek Hei, Halacha Zayin, Mishnah Zayin, V'ein a nivel l'hoshev, says the Chasam Sofer, the definition of Ein a nivel l'hoshev is that a person is careful to, as a person is careful before he issues a psak to make sure that he looks into the sefer based on which he's going to give the psak. Says the Gemara, Rav Chisda Oiri b'Kafri, Rav Chisda would paskin shailas in the city of Kafri, b'shnei de Rav Huna, because that wasn't where Rav Huna lived. Rav Huna lived in Pumpadisa. Rav Amnuni Oiri b'Charta, Rav Amnuni would issue pske aloch in Charta, the Argus Mechata de Agus, b'shneider of Chizda. So what the Gemara is saying is that in all these situations where the Rebbe is not there, we could be a little more lenient. Says the Gemara, Rav Asar Sakina. So the Gemara, in Masechta Chulin, Daf Yud Zayin Amabeis, teaches us that before a shoichet shechts an animal, he has to show his knife to the Rav, to the Chacham, to check it, that it's doesn't have any begimus. And the Gemara says that the reason is that's only right to show it. And the Gemara also says that if you didn't show the knife, the Gemara over there in Daf Yud Ches says that a shoichet who did not do so, menad noisai. And that's the psak in Shulchan Aruch. Yoridei Simen Yud Ches, Sif Yud Zayin. The Shulchan Aruch, however, says there that Achshav Nagu, that now the minig is, which is the minig in all the kosher slaughterhouses, Limnois Anoshim Yidum al Shchitav Abedika, to appoint people who are experts, V'lehem Mochel Chacham Kvaidam. The Chachamim are Mochel that covered. The Chacham say that they are in our place. Kehem Zerim V'Zerizim. It's their job. And we know that they're going to do their job properly to make sure that the knives are checked properly. Says the Gemara, Ravina Sarskina Bibovel. He would check Bibovel. He would check the knives in Bovel. So we see that he was acting like the Rav. Amar Ravashi, my Tama of a Mahachi. How could you do so that you should check the knives? You're not the Rav. Amalei, Rav Amnuni Arabiach. Didn't you just tell us that Rav Amnuna would pass in Shilas in the city of Charta de Agus as when Rav Chisda was alive? Amalei loy ori itma. I never meant to say that he passed in Shilas. Amalei itma ori. One version we had that was Ravina said was that he did pass in Shilas. Now itma, and now you're teaching us that loy ori. He didn't pass in. What does that mean? So he says b'shnei de Rav Huna Rabbi. As long as this Rebbe Rav Huna was alive, who the Loyori, he didn't paskin. V'ori, but when did he begin paskining? B'shnei de Rav Chisda. When Rav Chisda was alive, the reason he paskined then is the Talmud Chavar delay. He was a Talmud Chavar, and a Talmud Chavar has a whole different category. And therefore, since he was a Talmud Chavar, that's why he's allowed to paskin. V'ano nami, and I too, Chavar Mar Ona, I am a Talmud Chover to you, and since I'm a Talmud Chover to you, I'm allowed to paskin the Shaila. So here we're seeing a new heter that if you're a Talmud Chover, then you're allowed to paskin the Shaila. The question is, who is considered a Talmud Chover? So there are many different pshatim. Rashi explains that Talmud Chover is Chochem K'moisai. That we're equal, we're on equal footing, but he learned from him one Dvar Halacha, and therefore I'm considered a Talmud Chavar. The Rambam says a Talmud Chavar is that somebody, I have a Rebbe, but I didn't learn most of my Torah from him. The Rambam explains that a Talmud Chavar is that first I was a Talmud, but Baruch Hashem, I grew in my learning till we became colleagues. The Shalah says just the opposite. He says a Talmud Chavar refers to somebody who at the beginning we were colleagues, and then the Rav got so great in learning that he became much greater than I. But we started as Chaverim, so that's why I'm a Talmud Chacham. I'm considered a Talmud Chavar. I'm a Rava, says Rava, Tzuvim Rabbanan, somebody who is a Tzuvim Rabbanan, Chazli Nafshei. He can look at a knife for himself. So the Rosh says that the only place we're lenient is by Bedika Sakin. Anywhere else, the Rosh says, a person cannot pass in his own shilas when his Rav is there. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Yerideya, in Siman Resh Mem Beis Sif Yud Beis, that it seems that we can't just say a person is a Talmud Chacham can pass in all shilas for himself. However, there is an exception to this. And the exception to this is what's known as smicha. Now the smicha that we have in our world is not the smicha that the Gemara discusses throughout Shas, particularly Masechta Sanhedrin. In those, the smicha that's referred to in those Gemaras is a very serious smicha. That's a smicha that gives you right to issue divrei psak on knas, on fine, etc. We don't have that type of smicha. But the Rivosh, in the Shas Chuvas Rivosh, Simon Reish Ayin Aleph, says that in the countries of Tzrafas, France, Ashkenaz, they started making smicha. And again, he emphasizes that that is not the smicha that's referred to in Shas, but what that smicha means is that the Rebbe is giving reshus to the Talmud, that even though we're learning in this Gemara that a Talmud is not allowed to paskin b'mokim rabbi, if the Rebbe gives him explicit reshus, then he may. And that's what the smicha accomplishes. What the smicha accomplishes is that my Rebbe gave me permission to paskin shilas, and if my Rebbe gave me permission to paskin shilas, then I may paskin those shilas. But that is a very interesting shila, which the Shach in Yoyerdei is Simen Reish Mem Beis, Sif Kotten Nun Gimel speaks about. We're learning that there's a halacha. The halacha is Chochem She'asur, if a Rav paskins that something is asur, Ein Chaveir Rishoy Lahater. His colleague who disagrees with him has no right to say, well, I disagree and I hold its mutter. What's going to be the halacha, discusses the Shach, that when we say Ein Chaveir Rishoy Lahater, what does that mean? Does that mean only another colleague who's equal to me can't be Mekel? Or does it mean that if there's somebody who's greater than me, he also has to accept my psak? So he says that the opinion of the Ran, in the name of the Ravid and the Ravosh, is that even if the person who disagrees with me is greater than I, can't disagree once I said it's asur. The Marik says that only Chaveroi can't disagree. But anybody who's not equal to I, if the person who's disagreeing with me is greater than I am, then he could be Mekel even though I was Machmer. And he says that's the opinion of the Ran and the Rebbeinu Yeruchim. However, say the Paiskim, that's only where I had a right to Paskin. But let's say I had no right to Paskin. It was in a place where I have a Rebbe and I don't have Smicho. So since I have no right to Paskin, so therefore, since I have no right to Paskin, so it's then my psak doesn't really have any halachic standing. And since my psak doesn't have any halachic standing, there the halacha will be that certainly, even if I said Osir, a different, my Rebbe, has the right to say that we disagree and the halacha is not that way. Says the Gemara, Ravina ikel mechuzo. Ravina once came to the city of mechuzo. Aisesh b'znicha sakina v'kamach v'lei. The place where he was staying, they took out a knife to show him. Amalei, so Ravina said to this person, Zil amte l'rova. Please take the knife to Rava to look at. Amalei l'sova ma hodam Rava tzum rabbanu chazal nafshi. That a Rav could look for himself. So you want to eat this meat, you should be allowed to look at the knife. Amalei anam mizman zvina. I'm not, the meat is not mine. I'm buying the meat from you. When is it considered chazir l'nafshei? He says chazir l'nafshei only means when I'm the shoychit. So if I'm the shoychit, that's when I'm allowed to look at the knife. But if I'm not the shoychit, I'm only buying meat, that doesn't give me, that's not included in this category. On the other hand, the Shas HaTshuvas Chavis Yor says that Ravina was in a particularly difficult situation. The meat was meat that he was going to eat, but meat that he wasn't going to shecht. It could be, says the Chavis Yor, that if he was asked to look at the knife, but it didn't have any relevance to him, because he's not going to eat, because he's not going to buy that meat, then maybe he would be allowed to paskin. Says the Gemara, Simon Zila Mahanya Machlev Ikov Yaakov. Rav Elazar Mahagruna Ravach Batachlifa Ikla Lebei Ravacha Berei the Ravika. They came to that home, but Asr the Ravacha by Yaakov, in the city where Ravacha by Yaakov was the Rav. He wanted to make for them an Igla Tilsa. Throughout Shas, there are two explanations of Igla Tilsa. One explanation of Igla Tilsa is it's the third calf born to its mother. And since it's the third calf born to its mother, it's the best calf. Or another pshat is it's a calf that's a third grown. That's when it's particularly delicious. Isis a kin of a kamachvale. So Rav Achrei the Ravika brought a knife and showed it to them before he shecht with it, that they should examine it. Amalei Rav Achba techlifa leichesh leil saba. Why are we not concerned about Rav Achba Yaakov, who's the Rav here, that the knife should be shown to him? Amalei Rav Elazar Maraguna, hacha amarava, tzum rabbanon chazli nafshi. A Rav is allowed to look at it himself. Chazli, so Rav Elazar Maraguna looked at the knife, then inish Rav Elazar Maraguna, Rav Elazar, he got punished because he didn't show the proper respect to Rav Achba Yaakov the Rav. Ask the Gemara, but why did he do the wrong thing? Haven't we learned that a Rav is allowed to look at him for himself? Answers the Gemara, this was a different situation. Shani Hosam, the Schila Bekvoidai. Since Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's name, Rav Achba Yaakov's name was mentioned, therefore we have to be very careful. And when there's an issue of covered Arabonis, then all the halachas we're learning here don't apply. And in fact, that's what the Ramah paskins in Simon Reish Mem Beis Sif Dalid. He says that even though in our Gemara we're learning a number of exceptions, all of those exceptions don't apply where if you're going to issue a psak, it's going to belittle the covered of the Rav. If that's what's going to happen, you can't paskin. Another teretz, says the Gemara, why this was different. Ibai Seima, Shani of Achba Yaakov. Rav Achba Yaakov is in a different category, the Mufalku. He was the Gadol Hador, and since he was the Gadol Hador, you have to take a different approach and, of course, treat him with that proper respect. Amar Rav Lefrushim Asira, but when the reason I'm passing a Shaila is to stop somebody from doing an Aveira, I feel before of Shapadami. Then all these rules don't apply. If I'm trying to help somebody not do an Aveira, then of course I could do whatever I have to do. Says the Gemara, Ravina Aviyosa Kameh de Ravashi. Ravina was sitting by Ravashi. Chazil who gavered the Osulei L'chamri B'tzinsa B'Shabbos. He saw somebody tying his donkey to the tree on Shabbos. Rama Beikola. So he got upset. Because, as we've learned many times, also l'shtamish be'ilam b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to touch a tree on Shabbos. So how are you tying this animal to the tree? And the person who he told to stop ignored him. Amalei, So he, Ravina said to that person, Laheva hai gavra b'shamta. You should be put into chayrim. Amalei, so Ravina said to Rav Ashkei, gavna. In such a situation, mi mechsekaf gerusa is look like a chutzpah that I shouldn't be doing this in the place of Rav Ashi. Amalei, Rav Ashi told him, there's nothing to worry about. Ein chachma v'ein tfuna v'ein eitzel negra Hashem. When somebody's doing an Aveira, and whenever somebody's doing an Aveira, it represents that there's a Chil Hashem coming, taking place here. There ain't Chalkin Kavod L'Rav. There's no Inyan to give Kavod. I saw a very beautiful Pshat from the Sefer Tapukei Chayim. He explains the Gemara al Pidrush. Kol Mokim Sheyesh Bechil Hashem. If you see and you live in a place where there are people who are being Mechala Hashem, why is that happening? How is that happening that the people are making Chil Hashem? It must be because Ein Chokin by Kavod L'Rav. You're living in a place where people aren't showing proper respect to the Rabbonim. If they're not showing proper respect to the Rabbonim, the repercussions are that there's going to be a Chil Hashem. Amarava, Befanov, to Paskin Ashayla in front of the Rebbe, Osir. The Chayiv Misa, and if somebody did Paskin Shail in front of his Rebbe, he's Chayiv Misa. Shlai Befonov, even not in front of him, it's Osir. However, in those circumstances, Ein Chayiv Misa. And again, we learned in our Shir exception something in a Sefer or if the Talmud has Smicha. Shlai Befonov Loi, ask the Gemara, and not in front of the Rebbe, there's no Chayiv Misa, but Tanya. Ask the Gemara, have we not learned in a Braisa? Rebbe Leza Oimer, Lemesu b'nei Aaron, Nadav and Aviyu passed away, at Shahar Halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban, because they passed in the Halacha in front of Moshe the Rebbe. My Dorosh, what caused them to make their mistake? The Pasuk says, Nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-koin eish ha-mizbeach, Amru, so Nadav and Aviyu said, even though we know the fire that was on the Mizbeach came down with the Shemayim, mitzvah lahavi min ahedit. There's a mitzvah to bring, make our own fire. And therefore, they did what they thought that was the right thing to do. And even though they did what they thought was the right thing to do, they were punished in this very serious way. Arab, and the Gemara tells us a story. Talmud Achra Hoyle Rebbe Elazar, there was a Talmud that Rebbe Elazar had Shahar Alocha Befonov, the Paskin the Shaila in front of Rebbe Elazar. Amar Rebbe Elazar Leima Shalom Ishtay. So Rebbe Elazar said to Ima Shalom, who was his wife, Tami Ani Im Yoytiz Eshnasai. I'm not certain if your husband will make it through the year. And indeed, what happened was Lo Yoytiz Eshnasai, he didn't survive. So Amar Loi. So this Ima Shalom asked Rebbe Elazar, V'Navi Atop, are you a Navi that you were able to predict that my husband will not survive? I'm not a Navi, nor am I a Ben Navi. Ella kachma kublani. I know the following. Rabbi, chayv misa. And therefore, he should have never paskened. Who was that Talmud? Yehuda ben Gur Yishmai. It was three pesos away. So we see that even though it wasn't b'fnei rabbi, he still was chai misa. But we said if somebody paskins a shayla, if it's not b'fonov, he's not chai misa. Says the Gemara, b'fonov hava. It was in front of his Rebbe. And since it happened in front of his Rebbe, that's why he was chai misa. Ask the Gemara, but didn't we just say, v'arachim menesholos pesos kameh? Didn't we say that it was three pesos away? So what are you telling me that it was in front of him? The Gemara says it was Shlosh Pesos. Ask the Gemara Tameich. Let's think about it further. Shmai v'shem Aviv. Lama. Why did he have to mention his name? Ella, tell us Shloi Taim and Mashal Haya, that it never happened. And same thing, don't say that this was, don't tell us that it didn't happen. It actually happened, and it happened that way. And that's why, because we passed the halacha in front of his Rebbe, that's why we have to be so very, very concerned about what happened. So we learned here that why would Bnei Aaron killed? Because But they shouldn't have said it, they had, by themselves. So the Sefer Ginzi Yisrael from the Charkva Rebbe explains why indeed is there halacha that even though the Eish comes down in the Shemayim, we have to bring our own fire. So he explains that even though somebody has an Asiris, even though somebody when a Shemayim gets excited to do a mitzvah, that's not enough. You have to have your own Asiris. You have to have the Sarah, the Sarusa Lasata. And that's why they were punished. The Ben Ishchai explains why don't they have the great Chusim? They were Bnei Aaron, they had Aaron's Chusim. So he explains that because they didn't have covet for Moshe Rabbeinu, when it's an inyan of covet Arabonis, then there's no such a thing as Chusim, Schusovis, all of that falls away. The Pasuk says that after Bnei Aaron passed away, the Pasuk says, V'yidoim Aaron. Aaron remained silent. The Medrash Pliya says, V'yidoim Aaron, ma havalei lemeimer, what should have Aaron have said? U'b'yoyim ha'shmini yimel b'sar alosoy. A very difficult Medrash. What does b'yoyim ha'shmini yimel b'sar alosoy have to do with this concept of Eish Hayim and Shemayim? So I saw that the Sefer B'Shem Mordechai says a beautiful pshat. He says, the Eibishter created us. He creates each one of us. And he creates each one of us perfectly. But even though the Eibishter creates each one of us perfectly, we, when we're born, our parents have to make a bris milah for us. Why do parents have to make a bris milah? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is showing us, as much as I have done for you, I still expect you to do something, not completely rely on what I have done for you. So Aaron could have said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my children that brought their own fire, where did they learn that you bring their own fire from? They learned from you, that you tell every Jewish child to have a bris milah, and not just rely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him perfectly. I could have, and therefore what they did was 100% fine. I didn't say that. And because I didn't say that, that's why the Pasuk says. So I had a great argument, and still says the Medrash, still says the Pasuk, for Yidam Aaron, he remained silent and didn't say it. In fact, I saw that the Be'er Mayim Chaim explains that the Pasuk says, by the Akedah, that Avraham Avinu v'yikach b'yodei es ho'esh, es ha'mechalas. What's es ho'esh? The fire. So he says, es ho'esh represents the Eish from this Eish, that the Avraham Avinu was being told, as much as HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, we have to do also. And that's why Avraham Avinu brought his own fire. He was ready to bring his own carbon, not just rely on this Eirus he gets from Hashem. And in fact, I saw, that's how we're supposed to look, the Shem Shmuel says, at the Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur represent times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia on us, a ruach of tshuva, a ruach of esayiris, that we should start moving closer to Him. But after those holy days where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia on us, that ruach, it becomes our obligation not to move towards Him. And that's why the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks, you begin. And if you begin, I will take it further. So I saw the Mefarshim explain, here we're seeing in our Gemara how strict it is and how serious it is for somebody to be Meir Halacha b'fnei Rabbi. Why is it so serious? Because the Gemara says, in Masechet Chagiga, the Sefer Chochem Samatzman explains this. He says that the Gemara says in Masechet Chagiga, Daf Yudal Ramin Aleph, Kiyosar of Dimi, Omer Yudchas Klolos Kilo Yishayas Yisrael. Yishaya cursed Kla Yisrael with 18 Klolos. V'lo Yiniskara Datoi, he didn't feel that he completely cursed them, Ach Omer Amikra, until he told him the Pasuk, which is in the beginning of Yishai, Paragimel, Pasuk Hey, Yerahavu Hanar B'Zokin, V'Nichla B'Kovit. They'll come to a world that the young people won't show proper respect for the older people. What's pshat? That's the biggest klala. So he says, absolutely, that's the biggest klala. And that's what our Gemara is teaching us. The only way Klal Yisrael could have success is if the order of Zakenim and the Rabbonim and Talmidim are kept in place. If that doesn't stay in place, if that falls apart, then Klal Yisrael has no chance to survive. And that's why Yeshaya said that's the biggest klola. Somebody who begins to be Meir Halacha b'fnei Rabbi Chas v'Shalom is breaking down that order. And since he's breaking down that order, then that's the worst thing that can happen. And that's why it's so, our Gemara says it's so serious. Amar Rav Chibar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Kol Meir Halacha b'fnei Rabbi. If somebody is Meir Halacha, a friend of his Rebbe, says the Gemara, Roy Lakisha Nachash. She should be bitten by a snake. And the Ben Yoyada says, why a snake? Because he used his mouth in the wrong way. He passed in the Shaila where he shouldn't have. We know the snake also spoke where he wasn't supposed to be speaking. That's why he gets punished by a snake. Shnema, V'yana liyo ben berchel chabuzi, V'yamet soni liyomim. I'm young and you are old. Akein zochalti. And the pasuk continues, V'ira mechavis dei eschem. I'm scared to cite my opinion. V'ksiv, and the pasuk also uses some similar words when it speaks about a snake, em chamas soichalei offer. So we see that somebody acts this way, it's considered he deserves to be punished. Ziri amar Rav Chanina, Nikra Choyte. Somebody who is Meir Halach before his Rebbe is considered a Choyte. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Belibi Tzofanti Imrasecha Leman Leachtalach. I hold back from speaking when I'm not supposed to speak, because otherwise I'm a Baal Aveira. Rav Menuna Rami. Rav Menuna looked at these Pesukim and tell him this way. Ksiv, one Pasuk says, Belibi Tzofanti Imrasecha. I held back from speaking. The Ksiv, and the other Pasuk says, Besarti tzadik b'kol rav, I did speak. And so how do we reconcile? So did David HaMelech issue Piskei Halacha, or did he not? Answers the Gemara Lekasha. Kam zman shi'iri ha'yiri kayim. As long as his Rebbe was alive, he didn't paskin. Kam zman she'en yiri yiri kayim. When he was no longer, then he started issue psak. And as I saw, the Sefer Iyun Yaakov explains that not only if somebody issues a psak when he's not supposed to issue a psak, is it considered a avera bein adam l'chaveroi, it's also considered an avera bein adam l'makom. So here the Gemara says that as long as Ira HaYiri was alive, David HaMelech refused to issue a psak. So the question is, the Ben Yoyada asks, based on what we've been learning in our shir, why didn't Ira Yiri give David HaMelech smicha and give him permission to paskin? Especially given that David HaMelech was the melech, given that David HaMelech was the god lador. So he says that maybe Ira Yiri did give him smicha. But even though Ira Yiri gave him smicha, he still didn't want to issue piskei halacha because he had such derech eretz for his Rebbe that he didn't want to paskin when his Rebbe is alive. Amar of Adab Azavda, kol anoisim atanoisim l'kona echad. Somebody gives all of his matnas kahuna to one kohen, maybe rov loylim. That could bring a hunger to the world. Shnema ira yiri hayu kohen l'david. Ask the Gemara, l'david who dava kohen? He was only a kohen to one. To David, l'kuli alma loy, a kohen is a kohen to everybody. Ella hayu mishagaloi metanoisav. David HaMelech gave Ira Yiri, as we just learned, who was his Rebbe, all of his matnas kuna. V'ksiv basrei, and what does the pasuk say happened after David HaMelech did so? The pasuk says that he Rabbi made David, and this is the basis for what the Rambam says. The Rambam says in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Tezvav, it says there, V'hakol l'fi Rav Hamasa. So the Rambam says that we can't compare when somebody's giving tzedakah and somebody has, the Rambam says, the example, I'm just using the example that the Rambam uses, somebody has 100 dinrim and he could give all 100 dinrim to one person, or he could give the 100 dinrim of tzedakah to many different people. What is better he should do? He says that you should give it to many people. And he says that's pshat for hakol lefiat rav ha-maaser. Give it to as many people, give it to more people. Every time that you give the tzedakah to a different person, you're mekayim a separate mitzvah. And the Yavetz disagrees. He says that we shouldn't do so. He says, because if you're going to give, if you have $100 to give to tzedakah, and you're going to give every person just $1, so nobody really is going to have anything from that. If you give one person all $100, at least that person will now be on good footing. So the Yavetz himself asks, but our Gemara says that the kohen, you shouldn't give all the matnas kuna to one kohen. So the Yavetz says the situations are not comparable. And the Yavetz explains why. A kohen could get truma, could get meiser from many different people. So since the kohen could get meiser from many different people, so there the halacha is, don't give all your truma meiser to one kohen. And the kohen needs more than just what you're going to give him to live. He could go to other people who will give him truma meiser. But when you're talking about an oni, so an oni may not have someone else who's ready to, this oni may not have someone else who's ready to donate to him. Since he may not have someone else who's ready to donate to him, there the halacha is, you could give it all, you should give it to one oni. And the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva in Yerideya, Simen Reish Nun Zayin, who also speaks about similar question. There he says that there's a person who unfortunately is an oni, a person who doesn't have money, but he's a person who's an odom chubid, that he doesn't want to take stock of money. So he doesn't have the option of going to many people. And since he doesn't have the option of going to many people, then the halacha is that you should, and you know about his situation, and you want to give him all of your tzedakah, that he should have panosa b'kavod, and not have to rely on tzedakah, the Chasam Sofer says it's mutter. The Shas Tshuvas Miches Yitzchak says that not only in this situation, but in other, this is in Chelik Tes, Simen Nun Ches, says in all areas, that's something that we should take into consideration. He makes a very, very important point. He says that we know, he brings a Gvaldig Raya. We know that the Shulchan Aruch says that under normal circumstances, one who Baruch Hashem has boys and has to have a sandik by the bris should not give sandikos always to the same individual. There are exceptions to the rule, but typically the halacha is you shouldn't give the same person sandik every time. What is that based on? It's based on our Gemara. Our Gemara says that you shouldn't give all the matnas kahuna to one person, and the Gemara says that sandikos is a school of Ashiris. It's a way that you're going to get wealthy. So it's inappropriate to give it all to the same person. You should give it, you should have it given to many people. Reb Elazar Omer, Meridin Oisai Migdulosai. Going back to what the subject of our Shia today is, if you Meir Alokh Mifnei Rabbi, you lose your position of greatness. Shanem Aviyoim Elazar Koyin Al Anche Etzava. Elazar HaKoyin taught them the Alokhis of Kashering. Vafagav Domelhu, even though he said to the people who went to war, La'achi Abba Tziva, that what I'm telling you is what was taught to my uncle Moshe Rabbeinu, Voice Eloi Tziva, so it was very clear to attribute the greatness to his uncle, Afil Acha Enish. He still was punished for doing so. The Ksiv, Lefnei Hakaz Elazar Kohen Yamod, that Yeshua was told that whenever you'll have a question, you should go to Elazar Kohen, who's wearing the Urim V'Tumim. But yet, says the Gemara, V'lo Ashkan Detzchol Yeshua, we never find that Yeshua had to go to him because he didn't give the proper cover to Moshe. Amar Rav Levi, call the Meisim Mila Kamei Rabbi, whoever paskens a shayla in front of his Rebbe, also l'shoyl will pass away b'vloy vlad, without children. Because we remember, the Pasuk teaches us, that Eldon HaMeidah was saying in Nevuah. The Nevuah they were saying was that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die and Yeshua will be his successor. As soon as Yeshua heard them saying that, immediately, v'yan Yeshua ben Nun misharas Moshe b'bechura v'yoma adoni Moshe kloyim. They should be destroyed. They should be killed. And that was as if he was issuing a psak in front of his Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ksiv and the Pasuk, the Psukim and Divrei Yomim, when they speak about the Yichus of Yeshua, says Nun benoy, Yeshua benoy. But it doesn't say any sons to Yeshua. Why didn't he have any son? Because he was Meir HaLocha B'fnei Rabbi, and somebody who's Meir HaLocha B'fnei Rabbi is the Mida Kanega Mida. The punishment, says the Ritva, is that he won't have sons that will have the ability to be in his, that have the ability to be in his place. He loses that schus because he did the wrong thing. Upligi, and this is this that we just said, that the reason Yeshua was punished was without having sons was because he was Meir HaLocha B'fnei Rabbi, is in disagreement on what Rav Abba Bar Papa taught us. Dom Rav Abba Bar Papa, Lo Nenesh Yeshua, the reason Yeshua was punished, Ella b'shvil shabitas Yisrael la'il achz b'pirivivya. One night, he prevented them from having pirivivya, and that's the midah k'negamida. He kept them back from having pirivivya, and that's why he didn't have sons. Shneim v'yi b'yos Yeshua b'yirichoy v'ya isa ein v'yar. The pasuk says in Yeshua that when Yeshua was in Yerichoy, and we'll read the rest of the pasuk. Yeshua sees, v'hinei ish oymed l'negdoi, there's a person facing him, v'charve shlufa b'yodoi, holding a knife outstretched, a sword outstretched. V'yeyach Yeshua, elav yamelanu, halona atam l'tzareinu, are you from our group, or are you from our enemies? V'yoymer, v'ksiv, and the pasuk says that this person says, loy kanit tzah tzva Hashem, I am a malach, atabasi, and I came now to punish you. I punish you, why? Amaloi, emes, before the night, bidaltem tamet shaben abayim. While you were out at war, you didn't bring the kamet tamet shaben abayim. V'achshev, bidaltem tamet Torah. And now, at night, during the day, they were at war. So they didn't bring the tamet shaben abayim. Tosfos Masechet Megillah explains, because the Kohanim were carrying the Aron when they went out to war. And when they're out at war, they don't bring... when the Aron's not in its place, you can't bring the Karmen Tamid. They used to learn at night. So by day, there's no problem. I understand why you couldn't learn. You were busy with going to war. But why was your heter not to learn at night? So Yeshua asks him, so I did two Averis. Aleiz men Bosa, which is the greater Avera? Amalei Atabasi. I came on the Avera of Atta, at learning Torah. Miyad, the Pasuk says, as soon as Yeshua heard this, V'yelch Yeshua b'layla hu b'soicha emek, v'omer b'yoichran, melamed shaholach ba'omka shalalocha. He started to learn Torah. V'gmiri, the kozman sh'aron v'shchina sh'durim v'lo mekoyman, as long as the aron and the shchina are not where they're supposed to be, asur m'tashma shamita. So that night, they didn't have the aron, and they couldn't, therefore, nobody could have relations with their wife. And since he kept them from having relations, that's why he was punished. Om Rav Shmuel Bar Inya, Mishmei the Rav, we learn from this Gemara that Gol Talmud Torah, Yosh Mekarav Stidim, the Talmud Torah is even greater than bringing a carbon, because we see Omalei Atabasi. I came because of the Vera of Bittul Torah. So from here we see that there's nothing of a greater Avera than being Mevatel Talmud Torah. And the reason is, I saw from the Sefer Eshe Moshe, that Tad V'sheena Tad Tad Kaidim. The Karban Tamid we bring in the morning and the evening. The other Kabbanis, the Torah is a 24-hour-a-day Chiyuv. And therefore, since it's a chiyuv 24 hours a day, that's why we have to, that's why the halacha is, since it's a 24 hour chiyuv, it's more than carbon tamid. But I saw that Rav Chaim Kreisworth quoted his father-in-law, Rav Avram Gizhensky, say said that what does the Gemara say that after Yeshua heard from the Malach this issue that he wasn't, that they weren't learning? The Gemara says, Melamed shaholach ba'omka shal halacha. What does that mean? That even though it means is that Yeshua is obviously learning. What does Yeshua think about all the time? Yeshua, the great Yeshua, certainly was thinking about learning Torah. But he wasn't lon ba'omka shal halacha. He wasn't learning Torah with the full understanding. And says Rav Chaim Kreisworth, learning without full concentration in the learning, that's not called learning. It has to be ba'omka shal halacha. And the fact is a beautiful vart from Rav Chaim Briska. The Gemara Masechta Megillah, the beginning of Masechta Megillah, says a discussion of a mevatlan Talmud Torah, do we stop learning Lishmayim Mikra Megillah, to hear the Megillah? So Rav Chaim Brisker asks, isn't Mikra Megillah Torah? So why is the problem? Learn, you listen to the Megillah and you're Mekayim Talmud Torah. So he answered, when somebody listens to the Megillah, he's learning, but he's not learning Omkel Shal Halacha, he's just listening to the Halacha. And since it's not considered, learning that way is not considered really learning. That's what the Gemara's question is Mikra Megillah come first or does Talmud Torah come first? The Panovich Rav, when he used to learn this Gemara, used to say that Torah is supposed to be a Shira. Torah is supposed to be the song of our life. And therefore, no matter what situation we are in, we're supposed to be lon ba'omka shel halacha. We're supposed to be lon b'omka shel halacha. We also learned here how serious it is to prevent a husband and wife from having relations. Amar Abuna Amarav, kol hayoshen b'kilosh ish v'ish d'shuriyim ba. Somebody who sleeps in a room where a couple sleep, all of kasa ami nosh nishay ami tegorshim based on the goyah. He, by him being in the room, they won't have relations. Amar Rabbi Yosef, that the halacha is afil b'shtanida, where they can't have relations, don't be in that room. Rav Amar, on the contrary, if the wife's a nida, isn't that great that somebody else is in the room? Tavala brocha, that it makes sure that they won't have relations. Says the Gemara, that's lohi. It's incorrect. That had in Mad Nadri. The pasuk says suga b'shashanim, that Klai Yisrael are very careful not to have relations when they're not supposed to have relations. So by you being in that room, you're preventing them from having, coming close, not having relations. She's a nida, and you should never be nobody should ever be in a position that they're preventing a husband and wife from being able to become closer. And in fact, the Shas HaTshuva Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Vav Simen Chof, based on this Gemara, says that there's a question if somebody's allowed to go into a hot mikveh on Shabbos. We could be more lenient in allowing a woman to go into a hot mikveh Friday night if she has to go to the mikveh. Because our Gemara is teaching us how we have to do anything in our power to have that husbands and wife should be able to have relations. And if the woman's going to be reluctant to go to the mikveh because it's hard to go to a cold mikveh, so make a hot mikveh. Do what we, of course, halachically acceptable to create that situation, that relationship, that closeness between husband and wife.